In the gospel this morning, in Luke 12, Jesus said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." This morning, Jesus warns against the love of money, possessions, and the endless pursuit of riches in our gospel text today. But it wasn't just a warning about possessions. It was a warning against what these possessions can become. What becomes of possession obsession? It becomes idolatry. How much is enough? As soon as we start down this road, we are in dangerous territory. How much is enough? What is the limit before I cross over that line into idolatry? One who spends his life in pursuit of possessions is never satisfied and can be a fool, because enough is never enough. Now, Scripture never says that having material things is a bad thing. In fact, we need material goods to care for those in our family, churches, and our communities. We can't share what we don't have. God is not unhappy with those who are wealthy. Having lots of money or possessions is not itself a sin. To be wealthy and rich does not oppose any of God's laws. In fact, for the believer, we realize it can be a great blessing if it is God's will to make someone wealthy. The lessons of today remind us that our trust and confidence is not in ourselves, in our riches, or in our wealth, but it is in God who provides. Again, wealth and prosperity is not a sin and is not wrong, and God does not dwell upon it. But over and over again, Scripture warns everyone. Because of our sinful nature, be careful. God says to guard against all kinds of greed. We know from these words in 1 Timothy, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." This is the warning. Guard against the love of money. Not money, but the love of money, and against all kinds of greed. This is what is told to us this morning in the text of the gospel. In the parable that Jesus taught, he wanted to keep in the minds of the people he was speaking to, and also in our minds, remind us how easy it is to get caught up putting trust in earthly possessions. Jesus said in the parable, "The land of a rich man produced plenty, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?'" Jesus, of course, spoke these words carefully. In verse 16, the ground produced a good crop. What we understand from this is God blessed the ground and the crop for this rich man. And then the next verse, the rich man thinks to himself, "What should I do?" He did not see the good crop was produced by the ground, and it is a blessing that God had provided. Instead, he thought to himself selfishly, "Look what I have done. Look at the crop I brought in, and what shall I do?" Jesus was indicating the thoughts of this man and how he was tainted by the temptations of his possessions. The rest of the parable is familiar. And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store my grain and my goods." He was so proud, he was not only going to add on, he was going to tear down and build everything new. After all, in his eyes, he was successful, just as he thought and imagined he was. Even though he had already forgotten it was the ground that God blessed with a good crop, everything was about himself. "Look what I did, look what I have." He was stuck on himself and had lots of plans for himself. So with that one good crop the ground had produced, he thought it would provide him for many years. There was nothing to do but take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. This was his plan. But the plans of men are not always God's plan. The plans of this man to put trust and confidence in his possessions was certainly not what God wanted for him or anyone. As we come to the end of this parable, God said to him, "You fool, this night the soul will be required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" The man had a plan. He wanted a bigger storage and keep all his crops and goods, but he didn't get that far. All of his plans came to nothing. Someone else will now get all that he has cherished and treasured in his heart so much. And too many trust only in earthly riches. Is it better or worse today? Do you think people trust more or less in their riches today than they did back then? It could be hard to say. Today we are overcome with commercials, promotions, and advertising that say, to be happy, we need this. To be successful, we need to have lots of money and be rich with lots of possessions. Each time this ranking always comes out, according to the world, the most successful men are the ones that are at the top, and it is because of the billions of dollars they have. It becomes easy for us to fall into that same trap. The things we can see, feel, and touch, they appeal to us. It is hard for us just to be content with food and clothing. We want much more. Bigger house, more vehicles, much, much more. Soon we have so much stuff that we have to build bigger and better garages. Earthly possessions become an easy snare for Satan to trap us. We have heard it said the rich get richer, because if they had $1 billion, they feel they need $3 billion, sometimes more. Sometimes that happens to us. If we have a little bit more, we'd be happy. Just a little bit more to pay the bills and sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. And as we heard of this morning in Ecclesiastes, when God gives you the ability to sit back each day, every day, and be satisfied with the labor of your hands, this too is a blessing of God. He says he will occupy you with the gladness of your heart every day, not just at one good harvest. Back to guarding against greed. Each one of us knows how difficult that is. What are we going to do with all the stuff we gather and store? Not much. We came into this world without anything, and we will leave without anything. At times, our heart can become too attached to those things of the world. The Lord warns each and every one of us to guard against greed. Yet, as we look around us, we realize the world is in love with things of this world. This is an age-old problem. In the Old Testament, we saw that Esau, he sold his birthright for a pot of stew. He gave up his inheritance for very little. So the Lord says to us, we can become very easily like this rich man. God blesses and blesses us. We might easily forget that and say to ourselves, look what my hands have done. Look what I have accomplished in this world. But in the end, who gets it all? In order to guard against greed, we need to be rich toward God. In the parable, someone asked in the crowd, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." When they had said this, Jesus had just finished teaching about the angels of God and the blessings of heaven. And then he's interrupted by somebody asking to make a decision on his inheritance. What was this person thinking of? His earthly things. Jesus replied, "Man, who made you a judge or arbiter over you?" And Jesus said he was not the judge over of inheritance. And he said to them, "Take care and be guard against all covetousness." All kinds of covetousness and greed, not just those who seek for more for themselves. But here is somebody who thought he deserved more. He wanted his inheritance. Did he deserve it? Does anybody deserve an inheritance? We could say yes, according to the law, that is true. But Jesus said, "I am not concerned with all that. I am not the judge of earthly inheritance. Jesus continues, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Then Jesus reveals the truth of this teaching with the parable. Watch out, don't let the abundance of possessions drag you down and drag you away from God. At the end of the parable, as Jesus said to the rich man, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What a beautiful statement Jesus makes. We should be rich towards God. God gives us day by day life. And in that life, he gives us labors that we might provide for our family. God gives us day-to-day living so that we can grow in our faith and become rich toward God. An easy way to become rich toward God would be to keep these lessons today that we have and read them over and over again. Read and study God's living word. Then you will indeed be on your way to becoming rich toward God. There are more people in this world who care little or maybe not even all about being rich toward God. They want to be rich towards themselves. They want to be rich towards their own future so that they can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. It is all by God's grace that we understand God's richness towards us. Only by his love and mercy are we given an understanding that when we are not rich toward God, we are truly poor in spirit. Paul in Philippians, he said, what more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I might gain. Paul had already gained Christ, but he wanted to become rich toward God. Paul counted everything else a loss to the surpassing greatness of just knowing Christ. Without Christ, we have nothing. We are lost and condemned creatures, but with Christ we have everything. That is rich towards God, being rich toward God. We spend a lifetime of biblical learning to be rich toward God. And then we are blessed with joy and understanding of God's blessings upon blessings, both earthly, but also spiritually. When we open up that package of bread we bought at the store, we can remember Jesus is the bread of life. When we turn on the water at our tap, we can remember Jesus is the water of life. These are blessings so that we can understand that these are gifts of God. Guard against all kinds of greed. This can be difficult in our society and especially our nation. God, in spite of all wickedness that goes on and all the sinfulness, still blesses God's people. Thankfully, you and I, as God's people, are able to recognize the hand of God's blessings that he has shown to us each and every day. We have seen what greed has done to people in the world around us. The best way to do guard against greed is to be rich toward God. We look towards God and put our faith and trust in him. Faith and trust in God through Christ operates in a different opposition to faith and trust in wealth and material things. But how much faith is enough? Do we need a bumper crop of faith? Do we need a huge bank account of faith? Luke and Matthew both record, faith is like a mustard seed that moves mountains or tells trees where to go. So how much is enough? A mustard seed, not a coconut. In our baptism of infants in the Lutheran Church is certainly more than symbolic, but is symbolic of our trust that even babies having faith, teeny tiny faith in babies, even that faith is saving faith. Because saving faith is a gift of God in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. He gives according to what each person needs. So how much faith is enough? Enough is enough. I know that really isn't saying much, but it's the truth. Enough faith is enough faith. We don't need to ask whether we have enough faith or not. We don't pull out a measuring tape to measure how much faith we have. We don't need to weigh it to know if we have enough. Can you imagine if you want to coming up to the communion rail, you are asked, we are told you must have this much faith to receive communion. Again, it is one reason we can use a small sip of wine and a small wafer of bread. Enough is enough. You don't need an entire loaf of bread or drink an entire cup of wine in order to receive the body and blood of Christ. All it takes is enough. When Christ died on the cross, how much was enough? One death for the life of the world, that was enough. How much forgiveness is enough? You tell me. Enough is enough. Whatever you had in mind today, whatever that line was about idolatry, just know that your faith, just know that enough is enough. This enough is for you today. Receive enough of faith with joy. When we receive this faith, we store up for ourselves those treasures in heaven. In Colossians this morning we heard, if you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above where Christ is. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When Jesus returns on the last day, we realize another blessing. God has come for us. We are truly blessed. Not only has God given us spiritual riches here in his word and the Lord's Supper, but he has also given us material blessings. But let us also pray that these earthly blessings don't become a curse. For there is nothing more precious than our faith in Jesus and in his word and his forgiveness. Amen.